tempesta e l'aria fresca pare già una festa. Che bella cosa una giornata e sole.
Bentornati tifosi napoletani to another edition of Noi Tifiamo Napoli on the Far From Vesuvius podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rafa Rispo. I do not have Dan Russo with me today because he's out celebrating his birthday. Tanti auguri, Daniele. My Pisces paisano is celebrating his birthday. This Wednesday's Paulie's, then Sunday's mine. Hopefully we celebrate a Barcelona exit from the Champions League so that we can gain entry to the quarterfinal. And hopefully on Sunday we celebrate a win over Inter, which is a very tough ask. But today we're talking about Napoli-Torino from Friday. Tomorrow we are recording this on Monday, March 11th at 7:26 p.m. Tomorrow is the big one. Barcelona-Napoli traveled to Spain with me to talk about Napoli-Torino. And later on, we'll have Alex from Total Barca on to talk about Barcelona-Napoli. Is the one and only Far From Vesuvius own, returning for a second week in a row. Thank you, my brother. Ken Cioffredi, welcome back to the show. What's going on, bro?
Hey, I'm good, man. Yo, happy birthday, Dan. Hope you're enjoying. Not an excuse to miss a podcast, but I hope you enjoy it anyway. No, in all seriousness, I'm stoked to be on. We have a match to talk about from Friday, you know, a disappointing one, but, you know, one to talk about anyway. And then we'll talk to Alex in a little bit about, you know, the big one tomorrow. I think all eyes are on Barcelona, but we do have some Serie A housekeeping before the big match.
Yeah, we'll get to Barcelona in a little bit. You know, Ken and I we'll have a nice chat with Alex. He's ready to come in and chat more about it. And, you know, we always kind of have fun picking the brains of our opponents when we have someone in from their camp. But let's get to it, man. Napoli are riding on the big win against Juventus, playing on Friday along with Barcelona, who actually won their game 1-0. Not in very convincing fashion, but still got the W. And
back-to-back games against teams from Torino.
That's right, back-to-back against Torino, yeah. Turin teams, back-to-back at the Maradona too, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So, Ken, we got to this game, and it was, you know, tensions were, I wouldn't say tensions were high. Maybe that's the wrong choice of words. I think expectations were high. You know, Napoli are unbeaten under Calzona. Coming off those big wins, like I said, Sassuolo 6-1, Napoli beat Juventus 2-1 at home. Kvara having like a reborn season, right? Yes. I mean, yes. He scored his ninth against Juventus of the season, and he was named footballer of Serie A in February. MVP of the month or player of the month, however you want to say it. And, you know, it wasn't a great start from him, but we're getting Kvara of old. And Osimhen on a little bit of a dip, I'd say. But as long as one of those two are on and on at the same time, it's all good, right? We did lose this game in Turin 3-0. I know Marco Cubani erroneously said 1-0 on the Betts podcast, which is dope. By the way, I love the Betts podcast.
Yes, everyone should listen. Marco's building some steam on the
Betts podcast. Really is, and he's giving me more ideas for content. We'll have to talk about that later, Kenny. We came into the Maradona Friday, like I said, giving us some preparation. started off kind of slow in the first half. I wouldn't really call it the most exciting first half. What did you think of the first half?
No. I thought we played like 20 good minutes the beginning and applied some pressure, and then it sort of became we were getting Juric'd hard, you know, the whole game.
Yeah,
I know he was in the stands for the game. I mean, you know, he wasn't on the pitch because it was suspension, but his teams are always so hard to play. He always has his team set up really well defensively, and they embarrassed us in the reverse fixture. I thought it was I think I said it when we were on last week with Marcella. I thought it was our worst performance of the whole season. Was the game against Torino?
Oh yes, summer, absolutely. So. Yeah, that's without a doubt.
And we've struggled against teams coached by Juric. So it was like that. In the first half, I thought we played well and had some pressure early on. We forced Milinkovic-Savic to make some pretty big saves early on. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of fizzled out, and I think the last like 20 minutes of the first half were not so great.
That's right. The way we started, we had Medet in net, Di Lorenzo, Ostigard, Juan Jesus, and Mario Rui. Anguissa, Lobotka, Zielinski actually started. And then Politano, Osimhen, and Kvaratskhelia. We remembered that Rachmani was taken off the Juventus game for an injury. He was on the bench, but we started Ostigard in his place. Mario Rui got the start on the left, like I said. Zielinski got a start, and I don't think he should be anywhere near this field.
No, this has got to be it. This has got to really be it for him.
Yeah,
I would rather play literally anyone else. If Traore can't play every game, which that's fine because he's coming off of sickness and he hasn't really played very much, I think just give Lindstrom a whirl at that position. Because Zielinski has offered us nothing this whole season, and especially since the rumored moving to Inter, and we're onto another player with secret medicals and all this crap. Just
ridiculous.
Sit on the bench. Thank you for your service. Goodbye.
So
that's where I'm at with Zielinski.
Absolutely, same here. I agree.
I think this is a Milik type situation where he just should sit.
Incredibly Milikus.
It's very Milikus, and it's a Polish thing. It must be. I don't want to say that. That's not fair.
It's okay. You can say it. Yeah, it's okay. Sorry to all of our Polish.
We love you. We have Polish fans. We know we do. But
It's funny. An inside joke between me and a couple of the guys in
what's that?
The Napoli chat that I'm in is so. A few years ago, I went to Napoli with my friend Antonio, who is in the Napoli chat, and we were watching TV one night, and they were having a talk show about Napoli on one of the channels, and there was just a huge graphic that said like Polish mystery when Zielinski was in a bad run of form. So anytime Zielinski is in a bad run of form, we say it's the Polish mystery. He's really been a Polish mystery the whole season.
He has. And it happened. It started before. I mean, it was obviously on his mind all season long. It started before. Like, I feel like after we won the Scudetto last year, it was it. You know, he got his mural up in Quarto, which was dope. I love it. I loved seeing it. And it was so emotional.
It was so sick. The unveiling was amazing. And he was there.
He was there for it. Yeah, they were dancing. They were singing, And I know he loves Napoli, and I know he loves, Neapolitans, and I know he cherishes his time, but I just really think this is the most sour ending to a tenure at Napoli.
Yeah, and he's been here for so long. It is sour. To me, I'm sour over it. So.
I am too, it's sad. It's sad. But let's get to the rest of the team. I mentioned Ostigard. Honestly, Ostigard, take the foot mob ratings for what they are, but 6.9 rating. It's not in the green with a 7, but he completed the most passes in the match with 53. Got to be worth something.
He was someone who was a good matchup against Duvan because he was able to win a lot of aerial duels.
Yeah.
Which were fairly important. I didn't think he had an amazing game, but that sort of impact was felt. So I feel like he was tidy and he did well enough, and he gave Duvan some problems, who is still a really good player, even though I feel like it looks like he's in, like, you know, he's got to be like 35? No, maybe not that old. 33
Duvan?
Maybe. Yeah, he's got to be like in his early, like getting close to his mid 30s, and I feel like he's still a really good player.
32 years old, Duvan Zapata.
So, I thought he did well. I thought he did well.
It's funny, Duvan lost the most duels in the match with 8. And then I'm looking at Østigard.
Every single one of them was against Østigard. The area, he won like 8.
Østigard won 7 of 9 aerial duels won. And he lost the 2 ground duels he had. But that's good. 7 of 9 aerial duels, man. That's dope.
Yeah.
Di Lorenzo, our captain, completed the most dribbles in the match, 2. so, yeah, there's that. I mean, he finished with a 7.3. Juan Jesus won the most duels in the match with 8. But he also lost the most duels in the match with 8. So it's a 6.9 rating. He got a yellow
card.
Yep. Mario Rui with the assist to Kvaratskhelia, which we'll get into.
My boy.
Yeah, man. This is why I prefer him over, you know, Oliveira. Nothing against Oliveira, but this is why. Because the creation of that goal was just...
Yeah, and it's about synergy with your teammates, right? It's like him and Cavada, and over time it's shown, like, not just him with Cavada, but him linking up with any of our left wingers. Him and Insigne had a similar relationship where he is able to link up play and take some of the pressure off of our left wing, whoever it is. You know, we see now, and part of this has to do with the manager as well. But we see we are playing overlaps and making defenders make decisions. You can't just triple team Cavada. You have to, if you're not going to respect the overlap, then he'll dish it off to Rui, and then he'll make you miss off of a move, and then he's going to put one in the short side like he did this week. You know, those things really matter. You know, you can't just load up your team against Cavada anymore.
Yeah.
You have to respect what's going on in the attacking movements of our whole team.
Right. Right.
Moving on to the midfield, Lobotka finishes with a 7.3. He got subbed down in the 90th minute, so he played 90. But he and Juan Jesus, Østigard, most completed matches. They both had 53 completed passes. Lobo looks a lot better under Calzona, being able to roam free wherever he needs to. We're not going to talk about Zielinski anymore. Politano, a 6.8, meh performance, I guess, right?
I don't like him. Sorry.
Yeah, neither does Dan. Dan doesn't like him either. Yeah. I don't mind him, but I think we really need to move on from him. I know we just signed him to a longer term deal, but Ngonge for me is where it's at.
He's the future, man.
Yeah, Ngonge is where it's at, bro. Like if Ngonge is not going to take over the center forward position when Osimhen goes, then he really needs to be playing a lot more on the right, and we need to start weaning Politano off. I know we just signed him, and, you know, whatever. Maybe we sell him. Maybe we signed him to sell him. You know, we did that for Osimhen, so who knows. But speaking of Osimhen, he completed the most dribbles in the match, too. And he was the
not his best match.
No, but he was the most foul player in the match, too, 3 times. You know, he gets in. You know, he gets himself in.
Oh, yeah. He's someone, you know, we obviously know this, but he's someone who needs to be accounted for at all times. I think it's more of a testament to Alex Goodday of Torino.
Yeah.
Alessandro Buongiorno.
Buongiorno really had him pocketed, didn't he? Yeah,
they were. It was. I think they both had small wins in the match. I think it was an even matchup. Obviously, Osimhen didn't score, but I thought Buongiorno did good. I thought he did very well against Osimhen. I thought they were. It was a battle. It was a good battle to watch the whole game.
He's always a threat, so that's good. He's always going to preoccupy one of the center backs, maybe if not both.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
I thought Osimhen still had chances to score. He missed a cross at one point in the game, like the first 25 minutes when we were playing well. It like went off of his shoulder. Instead of off of his head.
Yes. He did. Yeah. He took that chance where Milinkovic-Savic had the save too. Right. Was that what?
No, that was Kvara. Kvara had a crazy header that Milinkovic-Savic early in the game had to make a crazy.
No. Save. Yes. The header that he had to make the save for, but didn't Osimhen take a shot too from close range where Milinkovic-Savic kind of shouldered the save too on the right hand side.
Yeah. In the second half.
Second half. Late in the game. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like went off of like his shoulder/chest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Osimhen also had the least touches of any outfield player to play 90 minutes. So that's, you know, that's saying something. And he lost the most duels also with 8. Kvara, man. So
yeah,
he opens the scoring in the second half the 61st minute. And
it's a beautiful goal.
Yeah.
One of our best goals of the season.
Yeah. Player of the match, an 8.4 rating. He's just picking up where he left off with, his player of the month of February. He got Foot Mob's team of the week.
Four goals in his last three games.
Four in his last three. You know, you can't say enough about him. And I want to say that, like, just him being able to do whatever he wants under Calzona is like, has he been unlocked? I mean, he obviously is playing much better than he did, but, would you say the real Kvara is back? And how much of that has to do with, like, managing the team, being the manager of a team that knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge part of it. Having a manager who knows and understands attacking football and patterns of play, and someone who is trying to get us to be the Napoli he knows we can be because he's been here before and seen it in recent memory, is a huge part of it. You know, and also identifying who your best player is and working to make teams respect him and not be able to just play all for him. Like, you can't just account for Kvara because we're going to make you come off of him because of our attacking movements, you know? He had, before Calzona came, he had scored, I think, one goal in the previous 2 months. I think the goal against Hellas was like his last goal. The last goal before that was in early to mid-December.
Yeah.
And now you see, you know, you see him come in, and we, you know, he has 4 goals in his last 3 games. So I think that is a testament to the managerial change. And then he also is a player that I feel like once he started to roll again and get his confidence back, now he feels like he's unstoppable. And that's the way he's playing. He's completely undefendable at the moment, which is a huge deal.
Very big. So, very big, very big.
He could have easily had a brace in this game.
Yeah, he could have.
Or more. He had the diving header that was a big save. He had another he had a chance earlier in the game like in the first 15 minutes that I thought could have been a goal. Mm-hmm. Then late in the game he had that shot from distance that forced a save. So I mean, he really was amazing. There's no doubt to me that he's the player of the match.
Well, the goal came in.
It's not even close.
Yeah, not close. The goal came in the 61st minute. Anguissa getting a pass out wide to him. He drives towards the goal, but Rui makes a run to his left, and Kvara finds Rui. It was like a one-time touch. Yep. Give and go. Kvara running into the box.
Yep. Sticks it short side. Pass Milinkovic-Savic.
Nice low cross. Boom. Pass Milinkovic-Savic. 1-0. Everyone's happy. It's great. You know, 2 minutes later, Torino take out Pellegrini, who's done nothing, and Sanabria comes in, and boom. 1 minute after.
First touch of the game. Sanabria has a goal.
Yeah. Torino equalized. Literally,
I think it was off a corner.
It was off a corner. Ginettis puts in the cross into the penalty box. It comes off Anguissa, loops into the air. Sanabria attempts an overhead scissor kick from inside the six.
Amazing finish.
Right in front of Medet, too. And he got a hand onto it. He couldn't prevent the goal. Nothing you could do about that. You know, everybody at the shop is like, oh, you had a hand on it. He could have.
No one is catching that. There's no one is catching that. Or if he was able to parry that over the bar, it would have been the goal, the save.
Forget it. But you know,
there's no. But no, you can't.
No, the best keeper, the Medet's best keepers fault. From that close of a range. No, come on. No, and he rifled that ball past him too. Like, you know.
Yeah. It was an amazing finish and an unfortunate bounce that came off of Anguissa. Well, what, you know, to me, I was obviously you're frustrated in the moment, but there's not really much you can do about that.
That's when we realized.
Crazy bounce, amazing finish. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. It's tied.
That's when we realized that Politano has to go and Zielinski has to go. We brought in Rasmussen and Traore a few minutes apart from each other. Nothing doing, though. We brought in Oliveira in the 79th, which...
Yeah, and then Lindstrom at the very end.
You know,
We had 6 shots on target in the second half, 16 shots total in the second half.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get the second one.
A better second half than a first half all around. I think you know, and not for nothing, but you know, just to note, so Milinkovic-Savic got rated a 7-8.
Yeah, had a great game.
Buongiorno played really well. Most tackles in the game. Was also the most fouled player in the game with 3, with a 7.2.
Milinkovic-Savic was our best player.
Yeah, Milinkovic-Savic was our best player rated too. Belanova completed the most dribbles with 2, won the most duels with 8. He had a 7-2, and then Giannitis with the cross into the box for the penalty for the freak corner kick, 7.1. Everyone else was kind of quiet. So obviously Sanabria 7-1 with his goal. He's going to get a high rating.
Should there be a word about the way Orsato refereed the second half?
You might have like more of an opinion on that than I do. I spent most of the second half
really,
cutting.
I thought it was really, really bad.
So, yeah, okay.
It was really bad.
Okay.
It was really, really bad, in my opinion.
So what were some of the scenarios? I haven't been able to watch the whole match back. We were also hanging the other TV over our first TV.
So... Linetti should have gotten 2 yellows. He raked the.
Oh, wait a minute! Are you talking about the foul on Osimhen in the box? It should have been a penalty kick.
That was against Buongiorno, and I don't know. To me, that one is a little. There maybe is a shout for it, but I don't know. It would have been pretty soft.
I think it was like worth another look at least. I mean, I know VAR looks
like
at what
Buongiorno
look
puts
at,
his arm in the back in his back, but it wasn't like I don't know.
Okay,
I didn't think it
so continue. I'm sorry, with Linetti. Go ahead.
So Linetti had 2 fouls that I thought should have been at least a yellow, as he doesn't give them. Zapata was on a yellow and makes a crazy foul against Juan Jesus, I believe. No second yellow. There was a lot, and then there was the last. So. A stat, we effectively played 52% of the minutes of the game because of all the stoppages in the second half. Especially the last 10 minutes, I feel like we didn't play at all and they only added 6. It should have been 10, probably. I think it was one of the lowest percentage of minutes played in the whole season. 52% of the minutes. Yeah, 52% of like the potential, I think 9 minutes with added time were played. So, wow. I mean, just a poorly refereed game, in my opinion. I'm not making excuses like you should beat this team and we had our opportunities and we missed them. But there should have been an extra couple of minutes added on in the second half.
Yeah, I did notice the not so many minutes of extra time. But
yeah, especially the last 10 minutes. Like if you go back and watch the last 10 minutes of the game, maybe we played like 2 or 3 minutes of those. So it was a lot of gamesmanship, and it was really pissing me off, to be honest. I was getting heated up about it. Because
that is one of the things I noticed as I was busy. But
I thought Torino was really BSing the end of the match, and Orsato didn't do enough about it to in my opinion.
So they got 4 points from us this season, which really sucks. They kicked our ass in the first game in Turin, and they squeaked one by us here. But never fear, because everybody, everybody we needed to either lose or drop points did. Inter beat Bologna 1-0. Puts us kind of a skid mark in Bologna's run here.
That was a crazy game.
It was a great game.
I thought Bologna outplayed Inter.
They did.
Inter did. Inter's just on that run this year.
They are. They 75 points after 28 games. It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, especially in the second half, I thought Bologna just really dominated the game, but just couldn't get a goal.
Right.
Another testament to Thiago Motta, in my opinion, the way he's managing Bologna. Because you look at this team and you're like, there's no way they're gonna play the way they are, but they have. So Inter again, yeah. I mean, it helps us. So.
It does. Napoli look interested in Lewis Ferguson as well. What would you think of that? Like, take Xerxes and Ferguson from them? Why not?
I said it in the group chat a few months ago. I said, you know, I would do anything possible to get Xerxes over here next year.
Unspeakable things.
Someone familiar with the league. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I got that feeling about him. But I do, when it comes to attackers, I trust Napoli. We'll get someone good. We haven't really, I mean, if you want to count the Milik signing a miss, fine.
Right.
But there's a lot of injuries that we couldn't account for that. But we have a pretty good record for signing attacking players over the last 15 years, so I trust.
Just scrolling back up to Bologna's last few games, I mean, I'm going into December now, but like they lose to Udinese 3-0 in at the last game of 2023. They tie Genoa 1-1 on the 5th of January. They crash out of Coppa Italia on penalties to Fiorentina 0-0. Yep. Then they lose to Cagliari 2-1. But since January 27th, they were 6 wins and a draw, 6 straight wins.
Yeah.
Milan. Yeah. They drew to Milan 2-2.
And they beat some good teams.
Yeah. They drew Milan 2-2. Sassuolo 4-2 at home, Lecce 4-0 at home, Fiorentina 2-0 at home, Lazio 2-1 away.
They beat Atalanta.
Yeah. And this is the stop came right where when it needed to. They do play Empoli this coming Friday.
Yeah, I feel like that game, the first or second week of May we have against them is going to be a really important match.
It is, and they're in fourth place with 51 points. So their loss was kind of big for us. We gained 1 point on them. That's better than zero. Roma yesterday tie to Fiorentina 2-2. Last minute, Llorente goal, which came in good for my fantasy. That's dope. But we needed them to lose. Fiorentina were winning. I honestly, though, like you look at this and the positions that they were in, it was in either a draw or a Fiorentina win served us the best, and we got the draw, so that's fine. But it puts us at 44, Roma at 48. 4 points out of the Champions League spot, which fifth may very well become a Champions League spot this season. It's looking very likely especially after the Italians in Europe this past week. Wow, lot of great results there, man.
Yeah, Roma again. I mean, credit to De Rossi and the way he's got his team rolling.
Yeah, for sure.
They put a Brighton spanking in. Brighton.
And I said to Frank on Serie A sit-down, I said, oh, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to De Zerbi's managing against De Rossi, and I think it's not going to be enough. Well, I was freaking real wrong, wasn't I? 4-0. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they put a beating on
Unbelievable.
Them.
Atalanta, on them. Again, tying to Sporting. They did that in Portugal in the group stage as well. But they also tied to Juventus yesterday. They went up with Coop Miners, and then in the second half, 2 goals in 3 minutes by Cambiaso and Milik. And it sucked because we kind of had to cheer for Juventus. And I don't want to say cheer, but like, you know,
hope that they came away with some sort of result because Atalanta are in front of us. But it is a 2-2 because Coop Miner has saved the day and for Atalanta. But a good result for us still. I mean, we're in striking distance. Fiorentina stay behind us. Lazio stay behind us with their loss to Udinese today. They lose 2-1. That
Lazio is having a really bad run of form right now.
I heard that
they lost 4 of the last 5 league matches.
I heard that, and they're out of the Champions League. And I heard that Sarri is looking to be out of there. That he doesn't want anything to do.
You can tell. You can tell.
Well, the rumors of Sarri coming back to us are running rampant, especially in our chat, wasn't it?
It was this morning. Yeah, I'm not paying anything.
Neither am I. I said simply no is what I said. I don't. I just don't want it, man. Like, listen. Calzona's doing fine. I'd love to keep him.
I know we just had Mazzari back for a little cameo, but we very rarely with players or managers run it back.
Yeah, we can't run it back.
It's not something we do often. No. I'm in wait and see mode. I think let's just see how the rest of the season goes before we figure out what's happening next.
Well, we have Inter on Sunday, so that kind of is going to give us a little hiccup. We're not going to beat them. I don't know. That's at the same time, can we beat Inter? Are we that good right now, Ken? Can we do it?
No. We can do it, yeah.
Okay, but look at the Inter's last two games, and I get it. They're gearing up for the Champions League. They're going to go all out there. But but look at them. They have such a lead on – you know, this is around the time where Napoli sort of took the foot off the pedal too. They were getting deeper into the Champions League, blah, 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 right? They squeaked out a win against Genoa. Should have probably not have won that game. And then they get the job done against Bologna, but you know it was one goal in the first half, and Bologna kind of controlled it. If Napoli are staying on this run of form, I mean, but then again, we're gonna you know blow all our whole load on Barcelona too. You know, so you know, not only do Inter have to concentrate on their slim 1-0 lead on Atletico, but we have to get the job done against Barcelona. So this is going to be an interesting one on Sunday at 3:45 Eastern. Hopefully my birthday gift comes true, and not only do we get a favorable draw in the Champions League if we qualify, but we, you know, we get Inter.
The last time Inter dropped points at home in the league was in October.
Was it their only loss? Did they lose at home, or was did
no,
they?
No, so, no. So they lost to Sassuolo on September 27th, and they drew at home against Bologna in October. And since then, they have not dropped a single point at home in the league. It's possible.
Nah, listen,
it's not likely.
But also, don't forget, like, it was impossible for Milan to beat Napoli last season, and they did. They came to Naples, and they crushed us 4-0. You know, and
yeah, we are one of the top four away teams in the league. But I mean, of course, it's possible, right? Anything is possible. You have to get the team on the field, and you have to play 90 minutes. But just given the form of Inter right now, I think they're gonna wax Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid is
horrible.
They're done for. No, Atletico.
They're horrible.
They just lost to Cadiz 2-0, and could have been more. I watched that game too.
Yeah,
that was
and they lost in the Copa 3-0.
That's right.
To Athletic Bilbao.
That's right.
I mean, their run of form right now is horrible. Mm-hmm. I think Inter is gonna wipe the floor.
Well, it was kind of the feeling. I have the same feeling that I had when Lazio, even though they came in with the 1-0 lead on Bayern, I just knew it was going to be a big loss. And I feel that same way for Atletico as well.
Atletico's gonna get humbled badly, I think, on Wednesday. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think we have a chance. I would be happy with a draw.
So would I. We mentioned Empoli, Bologna on Friday, Frosinone, Lazio on Saturday, Juve, Genoa Sunday morning early, 7:30, Atalanta, Fiorentina, that's a big one. And then Roma, Sassuolo. Sassuolo just won. They're garbage, but they just won a game. But Roma's going to kill them. The Atalanta Fiorentina is a big one. I would like a nice little either Fiorentina win or draw there.
A drawski would be a draw very would be me.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, we're big scoreboard watching the last 10 games of the season.
It is a lot of scoreboard watching, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, we need to win a lot of games and we need help. So
we play so many teams that are in front of us, man. Atalanta.
Well, I mean, the opportunities will be there for us. So Napoli fans need to remember, like, the opportunities will be there for us because we play every single team
that's in the mix ahead of us. That's right.
We play at home against Atalanta. We play at home against Roma. Mm-hmm. We are away against Inter. We play at home against Bologna.
Yeah.
The only away match we have, like, in our close around us is we are at Fiorentina. And that's so two out of the last three games of the season are home against Bologna and away against Fiorentina. So aside from the next two matches coming up, like Inter and Atalanta, mm-hmm. we have like a month after that where it's, you know, we play at Monza, at home against Frosinone, and at Empoli. Like, we have opportunities to
nut up
gain some points.
Time to nut up. That's it. Let's go.
Yeah, and it's and Atalanta, you know, Atalanta is still in the Coppa, and so is Fiorentina.
Yes,
and they play each other. So that's like another match for them to play against.
Looking
each
back,
other.
Looking behind us too, Lazio too. Lazio are in there too. So yeah, yep. Yeah.
And Atalanta have to play us.
They also have European. They also have European aspirations. You can't tell me Atalanta don't want to win a European trophy. Roma too want to win the Europa League under this guy. You know, Fiorentina.
I think it's a big. It's a big. I mean, yeah, that's what's crazy. All of those teams. So this week, all of those teams
play.
Are.
Yeah.
Have your European competition. Like, Atalanta Fiorentina is going to be a big game, and they're both going to be coming off of games that are ties that are close in their respective European leagues. Like, Conference League, Fiorentina is home against Maccabi Haifa, and they only won the first leg by one goal. So they need to actually have a performance. They can't field the, you know, the scrubs. And Atalanta is playing Sporting in Europa League, and that I think that tie is tied.
It's a tied, yeah, 1-1, yeah.
Yeah, and they're at home as well. But yeah, I mean, we have opportunities. Napoli fans, I mean, I feel like we kind of lost 2 points this week. We could have gained, but we will have opportunities. And I feel like Calzona, I really like Calzona, so I feel like we're in a good spot to maybe make up some points and get some form back. But you know. At Inter is going to be a tough one.
Yes, very tough. It's going to be a tough very one. Tough, very tough.
If we gain a point, I will be happy with that.
All right, Ken. Alex from Total Barca is waiting for us. We're going to talk to him really quick. We're going to take a pause for just a second, have a chat with him, and then we'll be back right after that to close things up. So don't go anywhere. Enjoy some Champions League music for a little bit. We'll be enjoying it tomorrow. Okay, guys, we're back with part two of Noi Tifiamo Napoli. Ken and myself are here, and we are with Alex from Total Barca. And you remember him from the last time we had him on with myself and Dan. He was gracious enough to come in to talk to us before the first leg, and we promised to have him back on before the second leg. Alex, how you doing? In 24 hours, we will know who has qualified to the quarterfinal round, and we'll have seen this amazing second leg in Barcelona between Barcelona and Napoli. First of all, how you doing? How you been these past few weeks? And how's Barcelona doing?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks again for having me on. We had so much fun the first time. I couldn't wait to do it again. As for Barca, I think it's slightly less fun. To be quite honest with you, everything was going great after the first leg. It seemed like we'd kind of got our defence slightly more compact. It seemed like the season was starting to take off a bit. We were so poor in the first half of the season. And it seemed like certain players were starting to perform again, especially the defenders. But the two big injuries we got against Athletic in the San Mamés for Pedri and De Jong, I think, has really, really hurt our chances tomorrow for this second leg. Really, really hurt our chances. I mean, we've probably got about three fit midfielders and a couple, well, one of them's a youngster, one of them's Oriol Romeo, who's doesn't seem to be Barca level. And
yeah, what
to be honest,
I feel like once a year, there's like a random player on Barcelona. I'm like, wait, yeah. They have him? It's always yeah, there's always yeah. one player who seems yeah. to come out of nowhere. Like when they had Kevin Prince Boateng for like six yes. months a few
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
Or Luke Young. Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, for me, the one when I'm looking at it from the outside looking in as a Napoli fan, the one that really is, you know, one that would bring alarm bells for me if I was a fan would be De Jong. I just feel like he's such a good player. I feel like he's actually an underrated player considering he plays for Barcelona and he's been there for a while and he's still pretty young. I just feel like he's such a good player and really keeps that midfield ticking and keeps them on time and keeps the tempo of that midfield. And I think that is the biggest missing piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. In fact, I was quite eager to ask you, when you were watching the first leg, which of our players stood out the most to you?
That is a really good question. I mean, I'm sort of like midfielder obsessed.
Okay.
Because I feel like a lot, you know, wingers and strikers get a lot of the attention. And I thought De Jong was good. I mean, I really thought Pedri was really good in the game, to be honest. I thought Pedri was really a threat.
Absolutely.
Obviously, anytime you have a player like Lewandowski, that's obviously huge. But I thought someone who was consistently pressing us and making us close to making mistakes was Pedri. I think he had a really good game.
Yeah, again, I would agree. I would agree that Pedri was really, really, you know, he had a substantial role in the game. Obviously, you're always afraid of Lewandowski. You know, the goal eventually came. But
I think it was a Pedri assist, if I remember right, wasn't it?
Yeah,
might have been. But you know, the offense is always going to scare me. You know, especially with our defense not being up to par as of late, even through this like good run of ours. You know, we still make some individual errors
for sure.
Exactly, and I think you know the game is won and lost in the midfield, and so for me. You know, for me, it really was De Jong and Pedri were my. I was really, I actually was looking out for Lamine Yamal to score, and I've said it on this network a few times. If you've never scored a goal before, like in a competition, bet on them to score against Napoli, because that's kind of what happens every time we play. It seems like someone else that has never either scored a goal in Serie A or for the club. He threatened a few times.
Yeah.
So I actually bet with a shot on target from him, and it came in. So,
speaking of Lamine Yamal, I actually thought I'm not sure who your left back was in the first leg.
Must have been Oliveira.
Okay.
Was it Oliveira?
Yeah.
Was Oliveira? Yeah. You're right. Yeah, because I actually
thought that was one of probably the best kind of fullback performances against Lamine Yamal I've seen, especially in the first half. He kept him really quiet. I was actually really impressed with how he was defending. I mean, Spain, it's, I mean, for a 16-year-old, it's very easy for him to beat his man. And yeah, I was impressed with him. But hopefully, hopefully we can get that goal tomorrow. Well, at least that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, typically Napoli look for Mario Rui on the left because his services into the box are much better than Oliveira's. But defensively, you'll get a solid performance from Oliveira, probably like 8 times out of 10, right?
It seems to be our big match left back for defensive purposes. We play Matias Oliveira. But personally, I would just play Mario Rui. I think he's just a better all-around player. But I understand, you know, I thought Yamal was really impressive for a 16-year-old. Yeah, so
crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy. He's someone, I mean, in the next two or three years, he's going to be a superstar. So it's a really good player to have coming up from your academy and making appearances at the highest level at that age.
Unbelievable. Speaking of youngsters, I think that we're going to be... So in the first leg, as you both will surely remember, for your goal, it was Inigo Martinez's...
Well, I
call it a mistake. I mean, he thought he was going to get a free kick. I think it's stupid to gamble on the edge of your box when you've got Osimhen there, that the referee's going to blow his whistle. I think he was at fault for that goal. But I also don't think he's going to be playing tomorrow. And I think he will be replaced by 17-year-old Pau Kubasi. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with him. Another youngster that we've magicked this season. 17 years old, and he just looks so comfortable on the ball. It's unbelievable. So watch out for him tomorrow.
You think Kubasi will be with Araujo tomorrow and Martinez will be the odd man out?
Yes, yes. Kubasi and Araujo, and then Koundé at right back, I believe.
So as far as Foot Mob is concerned, the projected lineup against Napoli is Ter Stegen, Koundé, Araujo, Martinez, Cancelo, Christensen, Gundogan, Fermin, Yamal, Lewandowski, and Felix. But this is from an article that was, it might be a little older now, this article, but you know, not really. It's from earlier today, but you're the man with the sources, so
yeah.
that's probably.
And then Joao Felix, where Pedri was playing on the left wing.
So yeah, in the first leg, we were basically playing with four midfielders.
Yeah.
So it was Gundogan, Pedri, De Jong, and Christensen as a DM.
Yeah.
Now we've lost two of those midfielders. I think he's going to go Christensen at DM, Gundogan, and I think it'll be Sergio Roberto instead of Fermin, who he's still technically our captain, barely played this season. In big games, he's been unbelievable for us.
Yeah.
A lot of the fan base are still slightly worried about that. I don't know.
He does turn up in some big moments, though. He's had some really big moments for Barca.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite moments as a Barca fan of thanks
PSG,
for that man.
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I think João Felix will be playing on the left. It's either him or Vitor Roque, our new Brazilian wonder kid. But I think Felix will get the start.
So, Barcelona, fun fact, are actually unbeaten since Xavi revealed that he's stepping down at the end of the season. So are Napoli, unbeaten with Francesco Calzona. So something's got to give. In the last match it was at the Camp Nou. Now we're at the Olympic Stadium, correct?
Yeah.
But in Barcelona, it was 1-1. If another 1-1 pulls out, we're in extra time. Are you okay to go to extra time with Napoli? What, would you rather? I mean, obviously, you'd rather finish the tie off, or, you know, in 90 minutes. But if you were to go to extra time with us, who has the advantage there?
I don't know about you guys, but I'm not sure our squad's big enough for extra time, to be honest. I don't even know who we could bring off the bench at this point, really. I don't know if that favors us, but again, I don't know if that favors you guys.
I mean, we're pretty healthy, you know. I think besides we're playing as good. Like he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was called up. Yeah, I don't know if he'll called play, up, but he was called up. Yeah.
Okay. So he's called up. That doesn't really mean he'll play. He's coming back from injury. But at the same time, Napoli are doing fine without him. It feels like Kvaratskhelia is sort of unlocked under Calzona, and Osimhen had a really good start since his return from the AFCON. And I don't know. I just feel like – I guess the question is in the midfield and in the defense because, no Zielinski, he's not called up to the roster because of his impending free transfer to Inter.
How do you guys feel about that? Is that a betrayal?
Very pissed. No, yeah. Very pissed off.
Yeah, it's
this one stings. In the past, and Ken will tell you because Ken knows when it was Milik or when it was, you know, maybe even Higuain or however, you know, whoever we're talking about. You know, those are like, yeah, okay, I'll see you later. You didn't really do much for us. But this one sucks more because he was a very key component to this. And he was one of the, you know, the last remaining. Him and Mairi were on the team since, you know, Napoli became, you know, a force in Europe or, like, looked upon in Europe. And they won the Scudetto. So if it was anywhere else, I think it'd be a lot more easy to deal with. But this sucks that he's going to go to Inter. I mean,
for me, I don't even care as much that he's going to Inter. It's the way that he's performed since.
Yes.
Since the announcement or like the rumor that that's what's happening, his performances have been really bad.
But there's a reason why a team like Inter, when, you know, I forgot who was it?
I mean, the business end of it is.
Is it Brozovic or whoever? Someone was leaving Inter and they got frozen out of the team altogether. Was it Brozovic or was it Defender?
That's what we did with Milik as well.
Skriniar. It was Skriniar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we at some point from a business level, Napoli have to see what they have in a couple of players they have on loan that they could potentially buy in the summer, especially Hamed Junior Traore, who's actually been playing pretty well, but he just doesn't have consistent 90 minutes under him with his fitness right now. So you have to assess your squad going into next season, and his performances on the pitch when he has played in Serie A have not been very good. So it's one of those things where it's a blessing in disguise that he's not on the Champions League roster because he hasn't shown any willingness to deserve it. So
are you guys pretty certain on your lineup for tomorrow?
I think so. I think maybe the only question will be who is playing at center back because Rachmani is coming off of injury. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing it's going to be Medet, Di Lorenzo, Juan Jesus, Matias Oliveira, and then that center back, other center back spot is either going to be Leo Ostigard or Amir Rachmani. And then Anguissa, Lobotka, Traore, Politano, Osimhen, Kvaratskhelia. That would be my guess. Gotcha. I don't think Ngonge plays because he's coming off injury and Politano's been preferred. That's the only actual maybe up for grab space besides the Rachmani coming off injury, but I think it's pretty set that'll be the lineup. So
I was gonna say this Foot Mob article I'm looking at is actually from 90 minutes. So I don't wanna like call out Foot Mob, but they have Zielinski in the lineup, so they know nothing what they do.
They are.
I was gonna say they also have Rachmani in this lineup. So you know that who knows? I he didn't play on Friday against Torino, but he was on the bench, so I'm hoping that he'll be okay. But at the same time, Rachmani has not been our best defender this season either. So
no,
maybe I feel a little better if it was to be Jesus and Ostigard. But at the same time, like, where's Natan, Kenny? Like, Natan,
I don't know what's going on with him, but
dude, Natan's.
I think it's because he's left-footed and he's very one-footed.
Yeah, he is very left-footed. Yeah, that's
so
true.
I feel like Jesus is also left-footed and has been playing well, so it's hard to justify taking him out of the lineup. But for you, Alex, who is your – what on the Napoli team makes you take some pause? Like, who do you look at and say this person or this tandem of guys can cause us some serious trouble?
I mean, I think the first one's got to be Osimhen. I mean – even in the first leg, he looked, I'll be honest, he didn't even look interested, especially in the first half. But then the ball falls to him one moment and it's a goal. And that can so easily happen.
That's all you really need with him is a moment.
He's the one player of ours. He is one player of ours that can make something out of nothing. Like, nothing can be there. Everything seems fine. And all of a sudden, it happens.
Kavada, he causes chaos. I don't think defenders can ever relax around him. And of course, Kvara on the left. I don't know is he on good form at the moment?
He is.
He's on tremendous form. Yeah.
He won Serie A player of the month in February, and he's really turned his season around. Yeah.
He had a really bad start. He's in double-digit figures now, too. For your one season wonder, everybody.
He also scored a great goal on the weekend against Genoa.
He scored an amazing goal. Torino.
Torino, Torino.
That's give and go, that's Mario Rui. We talked about it earlier, but, you know, what a goal it was. He came up big against Juventus. I just feel like he's been unlocked under Calzona, because Calzona's letting this team. Calzona is doing what Rudy Garcia should have done from day one, and just let them play their football, the football that they know.
Yep.
And that's what you're gonna get tomorrow. You know, listen, history does not look good for Napoli. They cannot beat.
We're Spanish awful against team Spanish teams. Like, so bad.
I think we mentioned the last time you were here, Alex, the last time we beat a Spanish team in two legs was 92-93 against Valencia.
Wow.
5-0. Fonseca, right, scored five goals in that game. And, you know, like I mentioned off the air, we lost ties to Granada, Athletic Bilbao, when, like, they weren't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one against Bilbao was maybe the one that hurt the most, because it was a Champions League playoff.
That was a Champions League playoff.
To
get into the group stage.
I mean, and we have quite a good record against you guys. Obviously, we've played each other a couple times in the last couple years.
Yeah, one in the Europa League, of course.
But I don't know how much that means, really. I mean, it's a completely different Barca team. I think it's such a 50-50 tomorrow.
It is. Actually, all the games tomorrow are kind of 50-50. You know, it's an exciting or this week anyway. Tomorrow and Wednesday. Yeah. Exciting time. So let me ask you this. Where are you guys in? Don't need to ask you, because I remembered the Club World Cup watch. Mm-hmm. Basically, the winner of this still has a chance to move on to the Club World Cup, right?
Yes. So if Inter beats Atletico again in their second leg and we win, I think we should be good for it. I think.
Right. Because you'll eliminate any more points gained by Atletico, and then you move on. So
yeah, they can't get any more points, basically.
Right. For Napoli, it's win this, advance, and then win one game in the quarterfinal, whether we qualify for the semifinal or not. As long as we win one game in one of the legs, we will be on to the Club World Cup, which is in the United States in 2025, which we could not be more excited about. I think we're going to go.
I actually heard, I saw today, I don't know, I can't remember the source, but I actually saw a piece of news on Twitter that your players are in for a big bonus if you qualify for the Club World Cup, which it's extra motivation if it's true, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't remember. Ken, was it a 10 million euro bonus?
Yeah.
Was that 10 million each?
It can't be 10 million each.
It can't be 10 million each, but he's going to allot 10 million for bonuses for the Club World Cup, which is really generous of him, considering everyone thinks he's just a pocketer of his money and doesn't spend anything, which is completely false. But Alex, we're coming to the end of our time together. It's sad because I don't really know when else we'll talk to each other. Maybe we should do some sort of like a Barcelona watch, because I have friends that are Barcelona fans. Why not? Right. We're close to, you know, the Maradona links and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you back in general.
For sure. Whenever, guys, it's a pleasure.
Listen, do you follow Spain as a national team? Or are you an England fan?
So I obviously am English. Well, I'm British, but to be honest, it's controversial, but I've never really been into international football.
Okay, it's not that controversial. You know what I mean? Ken's not a huge international guy either, except for when, the tournaments.
The big tournaments will turn up, but for me, it's like I'm such a club focused person.
Yes.
That these international breaks in the middle of the season and like the Nations League and all that crap, I cannot be bothered with it. I feel like we've been hurt more by people getting injured or whatever it is than any good that comes out of during season. Like a lot of special times for the national team, and that's that. Don't get my
question. I love it. I love it very, very much. But, I mean, obviously I prefer club football over the national team.
So you guys support the Italian national team?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We do. The U.S. is a it's an interesting one. I think once the younger players now, or like the players that are kind of winding down now with their careers, until they become coaches and put their knowledge of the game that's outside of the United States into the youth and into the you know, the system, I think that's when you'll see the influx of the U.S. national team. You know, I think that's where you'll see an influx there with them getting better. But, you know, you still have some old heads that don't really know what they're doing as far as managing. So, you know, I made that point the other day with a buddy of mine behind the chair, like once the Pulisics and the, you know, the McKennies and those kind of guys get a little on with their career and then go into coaching, you know, hopefully someone from, yeah, I mean, we've seen, who's the one manager that coached out in, coached for Red Bull, American, names escape
Jesse Marsh,
Jesse
Marsh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's semi-successful. I think he could do a good job because he's got some, you know, experience out there. But once you see these guys that are really performing well become managers, I think you're going to get some better because the athleticism is there, but you also need the interest. And we're competing here with four other sports that are massive.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
So it's a very tough ask, but also we grew up with the Italian national team. That's just how we grew up, you know?
When I'm like 7, 8, 9 years old and my family's around a TV watching national tournaments, we're all cheering on Italy. We're not cheering the United States.
It's just, right. Yeah.
Just the way that it is. So it just sort of gets passed on a little bit.
But for me, it's kind of translated into almost every sport where like, if I'm watching the Olympics, I need Italy to medal, you know? And like things like basketball, World Cups, and, you know, the World Baseball Classic and stuff like that. I'm always Italy first. I mean, of course, I'll be happy if the U.S. wins, but, you know, it's like it's fun, too, to see them lose and, like, kind of get humbled in their own sports. That's why I sort of need, like, world championship club things to happen because I hate when they call – like the Super Bowl winners, world champions, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. You know, yes, you're the best in the world at what you do, but there are leagues out there, you know, and obviously the other sports, basketball and baseball, you know, and hockey.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we have that? Why don't we have a Stanley Cup winner versus a Russian League winner just to say, hey, Here's a world champion, you know, and new fans of this sport, when they sit in my chair and we talk about it and I kind of explain that to them, they all kind of see my point and they're like, you know, you're right. Like, I get what you're saying now. And it's something that should happen. And until the U.S. just sort of like comes to terms with there's other things out there besides, you know, things in this country, the sport's never going to really gain that traction over American football, basketball.
It has like spurts. Like right now, soccer in the U.S. has traction because we have Leo Messi.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's true.
So we had a similar bump when we had Beckham come over. It's there are these bumps and you hope that what happens is like this bump in time now turns into like whatever generation grew up watching Messi play for Miami, Inter Miami, becomes these people who champion soccer in the U.S. And there are some teams who have really awesome followings. But to me, especially at the club level, soccer in America needs to be restructured to be more like the big leagues. Like in the MLS, there's no relegation.
Exactly.
So there's a playoff system I'm fine with at the end. Like, I'm an American, so I like American sports, and I think the playoff setup is fun. Mm-hmm. But you know, there are other divisions, and these teams have no incentive to invest money or resources.
Yeah.
Because there's no way for them to advance into the best league. Yeah. So
what helps me with the MLS is that now, well, I mean, you know, for a while now, but the winner of the league is recognized, right? So like the team that finishes first is recognized with an award. They get a spot in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And, you know, there's a reward there, right? There is an actually, they call it the community, supporter shield.
Supporter shield. Thing. Yeah.
Supporter shield, they call it.
That's like being the best regular
season. Right. Season. Yeah. So that's like, you know, winning your league and everywhere else. But, you know, the champion is the champion after the cup. The tournament at the end of the season, well, like Ken said, I'm fine with, but those teams from maybe like 10 to 13 or 14 in the Prem or in the Serie A or in La Liga, those are teams that are playing for nothing. And it's a few that are playing for nothing. Cause most teams are playing for relegation in Europe or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like a good 20 teams playing for absolutely nothing for the rest of the season, nothing. And now that the cup tournament has really kind of restructured in a negative way, they're not letting everybody in from the MLS. It's only a select few.
It's bizarre.
It's made it even worse. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff, and I like that we've gone off the topic a little
bit. Say, welcome to the topic of politics and soccer in the United States.
Giving you a glimpse, Alex.
Yeah, but it is interesting. For me, I always think like if U.S. soccer wants to be recognized on a club level, the winner or the top two teams, and this would cost a lot of money, but those top teams or top one team or whatever should be playing in the Copa Libertadores. It's the biggest competition on this side, club competition on this side of the world, and American teams should be in it. You know, instead of having nine Brazilian teams, we can have like one or two American teams.
Let me ask you this. Am I right when I say that the Copa America has expanded too? Aren't they having like a bunch of CONCACAF teams involved as well?
Yeah.
Then Libertadores should be the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, but, they should.
We're so fixated on competing against Mexico that we had to create this whole new League's Cup.
I mean, that is kind of cool. I'm
it, no, down, don't get me wrong. That's cool. That. It is cool. It I is cool. But that. There's too many. There's too many MLS games. Well,
there's too many MLS
when you include teams. There's too many MLS teams. They do play a 34 game season.
Yeah.
But when you factor in the playoffs, you know the winner plays like I think 40. 38 or 40. Yeah, but 40, then there's another maybe seven if you're winning this League's Cup. But then you have the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which is the championship of CONCACAF, and I don't know. It's confusing. It's confusing for the not normal fan of football. So if you're a new fan, you're like, wait, what's this? What's that? You already have to do that with Europe, right, Alex? You already have to be like, okay, there's this, there's top four, then five, then six. Oh, what if the winner of the Europa League finishes in 10th, and who gets this spot and who gets that spot? You know, it's very confusing.
Yeah. It's a lot for a casual fan to try to start to get into.
I feel like the Americans have made it more confusing though, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Like for example, I follow the NBA a little bit, and that's super, I mean, for a new fan, which I was not that long ago, it's super easy. You see the table, you see these players, these teams are going to get playoffs.
Yeah.
There's no real other cup competition. I know there is one now, but it's super easy.
Yeah, I forgot that the in-season tournaments, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
I think that's dope, though. Yeah, I think that's dope. I'm all for the in-season tournament.
It's very easy, right? You pick. It's like the same if you got into American football, right? It's like, here's my team. It's very easy to figure out. Like, if you want to pick an MLS team, it's like, okay, here's the league, and then there's the supporter shield. Then there's the... There's the, you know, the whatever our
CONCACAF leagues call this, that.
And you're like, okay, whatever. I'll just go watch my NBA team or NFL team or NHL team or whatever.
Exactly.
And another thing that's really tough about that is that the teams here, Alex, they don't fans here, most fans don't care about the Champions Cup or whatever. I mean, the only American team to win that in the last, like in this century, besides I think LA Galaxy in 2000 was Seattle a few years back. Yeah. And Seattle is one of the best fan bases in this country. So they appreciated it. But like, if you're a regular old New Yorker in the city, that's like, oh, you know, who cares? They got to go play against this Mexican team in a final. Who gives a crap? Unless you're like a fan who knows what they're talking about. You know what I mean? But
I think there'd be so much potential for the MLS if it was restructured to the point where you can have promotion, relegation, and it's more for... Because, for example, in this country, if you ask someone about the MLS, the first thing they're going to say is the big old players that have gone there, like the Beckham or the Messi. But you can't really run a league off of that. It's like the Saudis.
No.
You know, you can't bring these old guys for 2 years. Focus on developing young American players, creating a league system like we have in UK where we've got the Prem, the Championship, League One, League Two, and you'll start building fan bases.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, some of these teams in the second and third tier actually have like loyal fan bases
that
can fill stadiums. And we could just go to a whole thing. But you know, there are teams that are like, hey,
we have
a following. You know, we're filling our stadium, even if it's 10,000 people. This is our deal. Why? And then another team just outbids them and gets into the MLS, or they build one from scratch. Stupid. And then it just ends up killing all the momentum of a possible team. Exactly. It's really bad. And now there's almost 30 teams in the MLS. So 29 teams, I think, this year, if I remember correctly.
Crazy. I'm going to get back to one more Barcelona question, because I feel like half of this has been MLS talk, which is cool. I mean, listen, why not? Right. But, I didn't even remember how we veered off. But anyway, let me ask you this and then we'll let you go. And it's not really – doesn't really pertain to tomorrow's game, actually. It has to do with Napoli in Barcelona. Like Naples is the city of Diego Maradona. And anything Maradona has ever touched is like – holy grail to them. So Napoli, probably a lot of people in Naples follow Boca Juniors and Barcelona. Some do Real Madrid too, you know, because the newer fans, but like, there's a lot of like love for Maradona, you know, obviously in that city. He wasn't with you guys for too long. And there was a lot of controversy around his time there, but do you know anything about like how Barcelona fans may feel about Napoli? Like, I never really thought of that until just now. If you know anything about that, like do they, cause I don't support a team from Spain, but if I had to, it would be Barcelona because of that, you know, like I know Messi is taken over because of his time there, but is there anyone there that like is a Napoli guy?
I know exactly what you mean. It's interesting how two clubs can become connected due to one player, for example. And at Barca, I'd say our biggest European connection with another fan base and with another club is with Ajax because of Johan Cruyff.
Okay.
It's like Cruyff came to Barca as a player, then a manager, and he implemented the style. And that's basically what we've built off from Cruyff to Pep to Messi. They're our three biggest icons of this club. And as a result, we've got this great relationship with Ajax. It is interesting that you say with the Maradona connection, but again, I just don't think he was here long enough. Yeah. And there's also a bit of a, if you look at Barca's history, the kind of period that Maradona was at Barca during didn't really line up with a really successful side. I think he won a Copa and I don't think he even won a league title. So it's almost like a forgotten part of history. When Barca fans think back, they think early 90s, winning our first European Cup, it was the dream team, it was the best Barca team. And then you kind of think, move into the 2000s with Pep. And it's almost like a forgotten era. And it's sad, really, because Maradona is an absolute legend, one of the best to have ever played the game. But I don't think that connection does exist, not that I've seen.
I'm not going to pretend that it's huge in Naples, but there are, I do know some Napoli fans that, like, you know, will gravitate towards Barcelona because of Diego, you know, and like I said, yeah. Boca Juniors and, you know, all that stuff. And the Argentinian yeah. national team as well. So,
yep. Yes, that's true. And I will also say there's it's not like there's another team in Italy that Barca as a fan base feel more connected to, you know, neither of the Milan teams, definitely not Juventus. So, yeah, well, I don't know.
The way you said definitely not Juventus makes me the ultimate Barcelona fan now. That's it.
Are they your biggest enemies? Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
They are. No, they are. Okay. Yes.
No, they are. Yes. Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
So put it this way, we had to kind of cheer for Juventus this past weekend against Atalanta solely because of positioning in Serie A, and we're trying to get that top five, because it seems like Serie A is going to be.
It looks like we're going to get the fifth spot. Yeah, it looks like we are going to be. Yeah.
So you know, as long as that's a possibility, five is the goal, and we're only 4 points out now. Could have been three, aside from a Roma last second.
Yes, I saw that
equalizer against Fiorentina. But we had to cheer Juventus on just for that, and of course
I didn't, by the way.
Well, I'm not saying cheer for them, but you know, they had to get a result against Atalanta for us to.
It was a draw, and it was a draw.
That's the only and it was a draw 2-2. They were down 1-0. They came back and went up 2-1. And it really hurt me to be like, oh, good, they scored, you know, because especially when Milik scored. Was it Milik who scored?
I think so. I wasn't watching. I was like on my phone looking because I had my eyes on the game, but I was.
No, I was watching it. And when Milik scored, I was like, you got to be fucking.
Because they scored like twice, like pretty close together.
Yeah, it was in a very close proximity. Yeah, it was Cambiaso and then Milik.
Good for him.
But anyway, yes, they are the you know, I actually would not cheer for them if they were playing against you know, a team from, you know, doesn't matter where, Saudi Arabia. Doesn't matter.
I mean, they're not in Europe, so who cares?
That's true, they're not in Europe.
True.
Yeah.
But they've got that Club World Cup spot, so we need to take you out so that we can take them out. So sorry about that, Alex.
I wish I could say that I want that to happen, but
yeah, obviously. That's fair. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so I'm not going to ask Ken because he doesn't like to do predictions. I'll make one, but your prediction first, Alex.
I think in the first leg, like I said 2-1. I was a bit off of that. I'm going to go for 2-1 again.
I'm going to say 1-1, we go to penalties.
Oh, please, I hope not. I'd rather lose in normal time. I'd rather lose in normal time.
We go to penalties, and I'm going to say we lose on freaking penalties, man. And
we suck at penalties anyway.
We're
not great.
The similarity between these two clubs, it's unbelievable. Especially even last season, like, you guys had the best defense. We had the best offense. Yeah, we won our leagues.
And now we're both a bit crap, and...
Yeah. Yeah, but you're teetering in second place and even threatening Real Madrid. So, you know, there's the difference there. Alex, it's been a pleasure, man. I really enjoyed our time with you. If you want to come in and, you know, let it all out, the tears when we eliminate you tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean,
you're more than welcome.
I'm happy to do a reaction, but hopefully I'll be the one smiling.
Well, we'll see. For some reason, we'll both be shaking tomorrow.
That's true.
All the best to you, especially in La Liga. I do wish you guys well.
I hope you get that fifth spot. I really do.
Thank you. I do have a soft spot for Barcelona because we watch it every single week. So like when people say things like, "Oh, they're gonna kill us," and I'm like, "No, trust me, they're not great this year." I know because I watch them every single week. So best of luck, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Cheers.
I love it. Thanks, guys. See you later.
there you have it, Ken, listeners. That was Alex from Total Barca. I love that guy, man. He's fun. He's a lot of fun. We had a really interesting conversation. It went off the rails like we normally do.
Yeah, we did. We started talking MLS. We had a little side conversation in the mix there. But yeah, Alex is a great guy. Thanks to him for coming on and chatting Barcelona. You know, I think it's about as low as Barcelona fans could be at the moment. You know, I feel like they really are discouraged with their season and they're in a little bit of flux. Injuries, you know, Xavi is leaving at the end of the season. You know, he doesn't seem overly confident going into tomorrow. So
rightfully so. They're not as good as they should be. There's problems there, there's injuries. But you know, and something I think I may have forgotten to mention, but you know, we had such a great conversation. I don't even remember if I mentioned it, but you know, we were less than confident going into the game against Barcelona. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, given the situation scenario of both teams, you know, I was always a little confident that we could get something from it just because of how we're all playing. But let's face it, and nobody really expected us to, like, you know, win the game in Naples or even like get out of this tie and advance. But like I think going in, you know, Calzona was just hired. I wasn't very convinced that Calzona was the answer, even though I know he was under Sarri and under Spalletti and he knows the attacking football and he did great with Slovakia. I just thought the timing of the situation was going to be against us, but obviously we found out how that turned out. And now I'm a little more confident going into the second leg than I was if I had, you know, after the first leg because of how we've played and Barcelona haven't really gotten any better or worse and they've lost players. So for me, I'm a little more confident, and that's why I said, you know, 1-1 in regular time. And then I said lose on penalties, but I think we can squeak it out. You know, even if we do get the penalties, they're not very good either. I think we do advance. I do. But you never know. I mean, who knows? But you know, I know you don't do predictions, and I said that before. But what do you? How do you feel?
I think Napoli fans should have hope going into.
I think so. I think it's a good.
I think you should go into tomorrow feeling like we have a real chance, not like a. You know, I'm coping with the fact that I want to have a chance.
Right.
Like, I feel like Napoli fans should go into this game feeling like they really have a chance
and
to get a result.
And all the pundits agree, like, that if there are any ties that, you know, were when you looked at the way these teams were drawn, like, what would be the toss-up? It's this one. And, you know,
yeah,
just...
Yeah, what else could you want in a...
exactly.
Mean, we have it all to play for tomorrow.
Exactly.
Right? Like... What else could you possibly want going into a, you know, knockout against Barcelona? All is to play for, and you should feel like we have a chance to advance, right? That's all you could ever ask for, and that's what we have. So Napoli fans should go to bed tonight, get up tomorrow, have their coffee, and feel like we have a chance to do something big tomorrow. It would be a huge result if we can get a win in Barcelona and stamp our ticket to the next round.
And
it would
qualify
so
for the second quarterfinal in a row. We haven't qualified for a quarterfinal ever. And we're on the verge of the second straight. In a season in the season like this, that's an achievement in and of itself, whether we hit top five or not.
Oh yeah. It would be our biggest moment of the season, regardless of how the rest
so,
of the year
so far is the biggest game of the season.
So far, yes.
This is the biggest game of the season so far.
Without a doubt.
There will be bigger if we do qualify, but this is right now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and in a lost season, effectively what feels like a lost season coming off of the title and on your third manager, there's no way to sugarcoat how bad it's been.
Yeah, it's a it's a season that's been marred, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and we've played some of the worst football I've ever seen Napoli play. Truly.
True. No, hey, you're right.
With Mazzarri, it was really, really bad.
Yeah. That's really unfortunate, bad. But it was. It was.
And with Calzona, we've sort of rebuilt quickly and sort of found our stride. Napoli fans should get up tomorrow feeling nervous but also excited that we have a chance, especially with the form that Cavada's in. He only needs a little bit of something and can make a special moment. So,
well,
I think we should have a chance.
We all await tomorrow. You may be listening to this on Tuesday morning, so later today. I know I'll be listening back to this on the ride down. I will be going to Songhe Napoli in Rutherford, New Jersey. If you guys can make it out, I know it's last minute. I know it's at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday, but if you could make it out, that'd be great. I'll be there along with a couple of the club guys. I'm doing it. I'm sacrificing a day at work, and I'm making the trip. I'm doing it. So hopefully I'll see you guys over there too. It's an open menu. It's a full menu, so come, eat, order, have fun. And also, Ken, I got a little surprise for you. We cannot get Kubani to do a podcast for the bet this week, an FFE Bets Napoli.
Yeah.
But he sent me over his play. He sent it to me.
Nice.
So
Kubani's bets remotely.
Kubani sends his warm regards to everybody here listening and loving our content. Ken, I'm loving what we're doing, man. All of us as a whole. This is great.
So I can't do it because he's not here, but in honor, it would be like a yo.
Yo, you are listening to Far From Vesuvius, Bets on Napoli. How was that?
It was good.
All right,
good.
So here's a play. Now, I've had some luck. I've had some luck myself. In the Champions League, I bet Lazio to lose miserably. I bet Kane to score. I bet over 2.5 goals. It got me a win. I also played... Kane scores, Lazio advance, and both teams score. And once Kane scored, I got offered a cash out and took it. So I made some cash that day. That was very good, very good. I also bet Mbappe to score, PSG to continue, and PSG to lead at the half, that one. So I had some really good luck in the Champions League. Let's see if Kubani's bet's going to do something for us because I plan on using this one tomorrow. Robert Lewandowski... over 0.5 shots on target. So Lewandowski to get a shot on target. Osimhen to get a shot on target. And over 7 corners, both teams to receive a card. That's the play, and it's plus 180. How do you feel about that?
It feels good.
It does feel good.
It feels good.
It does
feel Everyone good. Get on your favorite... sportsbook app of choice and play along.
Yeah, we're not going to ask him which one he uses because A, he's in Canada, so it may be different, and B, what he said last week, they're not sponsoring us, so we're not going to plug them. So
yeah,
we'll wait.
We're not going to give you a name unless you want to give us some sponsorship dollars.
Exactly.
Any of you betting apps and websites out there, please.
Yes, and for the life of me, I don't remember last week's bet, but I know it didn't come in because I think he got Napoli winning.
No, it was all we needed. What we needed, the win. He got the, it was over 7 corners in the match,
right,
total,
right?
Which there was like 15.
Oh, you did. Napoli you did win. Post it on far from on the on
I
the
did.
Twitter. Okay,
I did.
Okay.
I
what
did.
Was it? No. It was over 7.
Over 7 corners total and Napoli to win.
Okay, that was it. Oh, yes, it was. It was his short episode. Yes, I do remember that. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So 1-2 on the season for bets on Napoli. Hopefully we can get back to 50% here. But it's a really dope aspect to our new, you know,
revived network where I would just want to say thank you to you, Ken, for your stuff that you're doing on the socials and the contributions and the shows. I'd really like for you to come in a lot more often. We'll discuss that at length personally between the two of us. Henry and Michele are always killing it.
Yes.
Shadow of Vesuvio is probably our best show. I love listening. I look for what
those
I do.
Those two guys just have the magic,
and it's great because there's no editing involved. I just stitch together the open and close intro music, and I don't even listen to it while I'm doing that. I wait till it's done, and then I find some time in the car or at work or whatever to listen. And I love them. I love it. It's great. If you guys need tickets to Napoli games, hit up Michele. Look for our link tree. We have a link tree now, Far From Vesuvius Network. We have all our links that are there. I think we'll be back. I would like to do something soon after the Champions League game just to kind of recap everything and get feelings. Yep. Ken, if you're not busy, maybe we'll hook up either tomorrow or Wednesday for that.
Wednesday I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah. So let's do a Wednesday target. Enjoy the match tomorrow. From wherever you're watching, we thank you for joining us today. And as always, Forza Napoli.
Sempre.
Ciao guys.